It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Monday, March 4th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Snowmobiling is a big part of the culture on the Tug Hill.
Well, I think there's just lack of snow everywhere else. It's really not that good, but there's no snow anywhere. Everybody's been itching to ride. It's been a lousy winter, so.
In part one of a two-part series, how the mild weather is impacting this $80 million industry.
A new report from the state looks at farmers' resiliency in the face of extreme weather, from climate change, drought, more rain, or extreme summer heat.
I think farmers are incredibly innovative, and farmers, particularly in New York State, are constantly finding ways to improve the sustainability of their operation.
Also, we'll preview two upcoming concerts, Rob Schwimmer on the theremin in Saranac, and the folk duo Drank the Gold at Tawny. All of that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Adirondack Experience, the museum on Blue Mountain Lake, presenting their new Eclipse Experience Zoom series on select dates in March and April. Details at theadkx.org. And by Apothecary Chocolates, making gourmet chocolates by hand from all-natural herbs, botanicals, and tree syrups. Apothecarychocolates.com.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. A Washington County man was sentenced in court last Friday to the maximum 25 years to life in prison for killing a young woman in his driveway. Kevin Monahan fatally shot 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis last April. Gillis and her friends were looking for another person's house in the town of Hebron last spring when they accidentally turned down Monahan's driveway. Monahan was convicted in January of second-degree murder. Prosecutors argued that he was motivated by irrational rage toward trespassers. Monahan said the gun went off by accident, and he thought his home was under siege by intruders. At his sentencing, the judge said he felt it was important Monahan remain behind bars rather than be free to harm more people.
Snowmobiling is a big part of life and business in Lewis County, home to about 25,000 people. According to a 2021 Lewis County Economic Impact Study, about 900 jobs and about $80 million in annual sales are attributed to snowmobiling on the Tug Hill Plateau. But you need snow to make that money, and both this winter and last winter have been short on that commodity. Last month, reporter Amy Feiereisel visited Lyons Falls in Turin snowmobiling hotspots during the area's first good snow weekend. This is her report.
It is a cold, cold Friday morning in Lyons Falls, and there are snowmobiles everywhere. Just off Route 12, where it runs through Lyons Falls, Tom Dysart is getting back on his snowmobile. He started riding a few hours ago, about 40 miles west in Redfield.
Been doing it forever. It's just a good time. Always have fun. The adventure.
Dysart is up for the day from Rochester, where snow coverage has been thin this year.
How long have you been coming to this area?
Since I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. My cousins lived up here when I was little, so I've been coming up here literally since I can remember.
What do you like about it here?
There's snow where there's not other places, at home in particular.
Hundreds of other riders have come for the same reason. The weekend I'm here, the Tug Hill is one of the only places with open snowmobile trails in all of New York State. Dysart says that's why it's so busy.
Well, I think there's just lack of snow everywhere else. It's really not that good, but there's no snow anywhere. Everybody's been itching to ride. It's been a lousy winter, so.
While snow has been falling in the region since November, with several big thaws, it hasn't been sticking around. The snowmobiling season has been delayed until now. A big storm dumped several feet of snow on the Tug Hill Plateau. And finally, places like the Edge Hotel in downtown Lyons Falls are full.
They are chomping at the bit just to get in here. We're full. And we've actually, just this week, because it's our first actual snowfall, we've been full since Wednesday.
That's Alyssa Hayward. She's been working at the Edge Hotel for over 15 years. She's had a front row seat to the growing snowmobile industry in Lewis County, which brings in about $500,000 in tax revenue each year.
I mean, I used to ride when I was younger with my parents, and it's definitely grown since then. It used to be more of like your weekend type of sport. I mean, you're seeing people now that are like, we'll come during the week instead. We'll take time off from work. Almost Tuesday through Sunday, this place is filled.
But until just a few days ago, the Edge was pretty empty, idling in that time between the end of ATV season and snow that sticks.
I would call it the dead season. You have that lull period until you have that snow that flies.
The problem is that that dead season has been getting longer. Snowmobiling season on the Tug Hill has traditionally been late December through March, sometimes into mid-April. But the last few years have been warmer. Snow is falling, but not sticking, with thaw after thaw after thaw, a trend that's consistent with the effects of climate change.
Last year, yeah, we didn't really have a winter. It was not ideal down here.
The trouble is, Hayward says many businesses do the vast majority of sales during winter holiday weekends.
All of your restaurants are going to be located on your trail systems. So they do absolutely bank on having the snowmobilers around. I mean, there's some places that are only open in the winter.
Just a couple miles northeast of the Edge Hotel in Turin is the West Wind Motel and West Wind Power Sports, where Tim Sadowski rents rooms, townhouses, and a fleet of 50 snowmobiles to lovers of the sport. He says the shorter seasons aren't as bad as people make them out to be.
And I see the posts on Facebook, and I see the negativity about, oh, you know, winters are done and this and that. And yes, the seasons are getting a little bit shorter, but it's not as bad as everybody thinks.
He says snowmobiling in December has never been guaranteed.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in climate change?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's obvious.
Sadowski says weather is more erratic, more strange. And he has firsthand experience. The West Wind was hit by a tornado in early August during a severe windstorm.
The fact that an EF3 tornado hit on the side of a mountain is unheard of. The fact that a tornado hit at all.
But Sadowski is optimistic about the future of snowmobiling and tourism in the Tug Hill. In fact, he says some of the changes they've seen over the last decade have been positive, like less intense snowfall. It's easier to groom.
The 8-foot snowstorms don't do anything for us. It's harder to work with.
But Sadowski says the shorter seasons, even if just by a week or two, are posing a real challenge to lodging in the area. The same amount of visitors are trying to cram into a smaller window.
You know, you're trying to, you know, basically take, you know, like a gallon of milk and squeeze it into a quart at one time, and it's just not going to fit.
It makes the feast or famine dynamic here even more intense. So does less snow elsewhere, because bad conditions in the rest of the state usually means more visitors to the Tug Hill. That's certainly what's happening here today. Back in Lyons Falls, the Boondocks Bar and Grill is bustling.
Do you read the special, Gary?
The parking lot is full of sleds, and a group of older men walk through the door, dressed in helmets and riding gear.
My name's Jim Holbrook. I'm from Phoenix, New York, and we come up on Tug Hill to ride. We do probably 3,000 to 4,000 miles a year.
They love it here, he says, and have been coming here for decades. For many snowmobilers, the Tug Hill is a home away from home. Of course, if they could, Holbrook says they would ride closer to Phoenix.
Been waiting and waiting. Down in Phoenix, we have no snow. So now everybody's up on the hill because that's the only place to ride.
And he'll keep coming as long as there's snow. The economies of Lyons Falls and Boonville and Lowville are counting on that. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio on the Tug Hill Plateau.
I'm going to set you at this table right over here, sir, okay?
Tomorrow, we'll head back to the Tug Hill to learn how volunteer snowmobile clubs keep over 600 miles of trails groomed for snowmobiling season.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It's 8:10. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got music from featuring a folk group from Saratoga Springs and a solo artist on piano and theremin. That preview coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
A tune called Big John Neal by the Fiddlers Three. Northern Light is supported by the Village Mercantile in Saranac Lake, established in 2011 with a mission of community-fueled solutions with essentials for home, camp, and gift-giving. VillageMerc.com, anything but general.
The New York Power Authority is warning Irish fishermen to beware of changing water flows around the St. Lawrence River dams in Messina during this late winter season. NYPA uses the main Moses Saunders Power Dam and the South Channel Long Salt Dam to manage water levels in the late winter and spring. The agency says that can result in rapidly changing river flows and potentially unsafe conditions, including quickly changing ice conditions. NYPA says water can be released through the Long Salt Dam with very little notice, so it advises caution, especially in the South Channel and near the Long Salt Dam spillway.
Agriculture is a major contributor to climate change. In the U.S., the industry accounts for 10% of greenhouse gas emissions. But at the same time, climate change is going to fundamentally change agriculture, and that threatens a big part of the North Country's economy. A new report outlines how climate change will affect the industry and what farmers can do to adapt. Catherine Wheeler reports.
The New York State Climate Impacts Assessment lays out how climate change is going to impact our daily lives, from energy and health to the environment and economy. And agriculture, one of the North Country's leading industries, is linked to it all.
Agriculture is connected to all other sectors of the New York State economy.
That's Cornell University Extension Associate Deborah Aller. Aller is one of the authors of the agriculture chapter of the Climate Impacts Assessment.
And that's something we do highlight in our chapter, is how agriculture is connected to transportation, is connected to human health, is tied to water resources, is tied to buildings.
New York is a top producing state for dairy, fruit, and some other commodities. Aller says one of the toughest things agriculture will have to face is the increase in severe weather.
I think when we think about climate change, it's no longer thinking about the normal, right? There's no such thing as normal anymore, and a lot of people have said that. And so when it comes to thinking about adapting on farms, it's really adapting to the extremes.
Think warmer winters, drought, early autumn frost, late spring freezes, and more pests attacking crops. Aller says farmers need to prepare for more rain, too. She says by the end of this century, New York State will have more precipitation.
But when we're getting this rainfall is going to differ. We're often seeing more of this water in the winter or in the spring and less in the summer when we have crops growing and crops really need it. And having more precipitation in the springtime, for example, as well, makes it more difficult for farmers to get in their fields for planting and also in the fall to get in for potentially harvesting those crops. So the shift in the timing of things is becoming a real issue.
Another factor is increased summer heat. Aller says dairy farmers will have to adapt.
Not just the fact that the temperature is increasing, but the fact that we're having more heat waves and days with excessive heat units, which can be really detrimental to the health and productivity of dairy animals.
Aller says climate change is a threat multiplier for farmers. It compounds the factors that already make farming hard, like the worsening weather.
Farmers are already stressed with tight profit margins when it comes to agriculture production and really strict issues with labor or labor shortages. And so climate change is really exacerbating these already existing stressors.
All of these things sound really scary, but Aller says there is hope. She says New York's farmers and other agricultural stakeholders know climate change is here, and they're already doing things to make their farms more resilient.
And they're taking steps that they can, to the extent financially feasible, to implement adaptation strategies. And what these adaptation strategies look like differ on any given farm.
She says those could be things like improving soil health and finding ways to capture excess rain and cool soil during hot stretches. Aller says farmers will need technical and financial support and research to help them adapt from places like Cornell Cooperative Extension and the USDA. Aller says farmers are prepared for this kind of challenge in a way. They're always thinking ahead.
I think farmers are incredibly innovative, and farmers, particularly in New York State, are constantly finding ways to think about new practices, thinking about what could they implement to make their farm business more viable or reach more consumers or improve the sustainability of their operation.
Aller says farming in New York is still profitable in the face of climate change. She says our local food system is vital and we'll figure out solutions to keep it around. Catherine Wheeler, North Country Public Radio.
State environmental officials are warning people to be careful burning brush before the annual burn ban takes effect on March 16th. The Department of Environmental Conservation says the light snowpack from the mild winter has led to very dry conditions earlier in the year. The DEC says forest rangers and local firefighters have already responded to early fires in multiple counties. They were caused by debris burning with wind carrying the fire to grassy and wooded areas. If you're burning brush and having a fire, always monitor it. Don't burn on windy days and have water or equipment ready to extinguish the fire if necessary. The statewide burn ban has been in place since 2009. The DEC says it's resulted in a 42% decrease in the number of spring wildfires. The burn ban this year is March 16th through May 14th.
A stray cat in Watertown has tested positive for rabies. The Jefferson County Public Health Service said a member of the public took in a stray cat that developed symptoms of rabies and later died. The county says there aren't any known pet exposures, but three people are known to have been exposed to the rabies infection. Rabies is a fatal disease that attacks the brain and spinal cord. Symptoms can take weeks or months to appear. Any mammal can contract rabies, but it's most often seen in bats, raccoons, skunks, and foxes. Health officials say there have been rabies cases across Jefferson County, and to avoid contact with any unfamiliar animals, officials say to remove pet food from outside your home that would attract wild animals and to keep your own pets' vaccinations up to date. Jefferson County Public Health is hosting a rabies vaccination clinic on March 21st.
Both of the North Country's Division I women's hockey teams are going to their league semifinals, and they'll be playing against each other. St. Lawrence University swept Yale in a best-of-three series over the weekend at Appleton Arena in Canton. Clarkson University did the same against Princeton at Scheele Arena in Potsdam. The two advanced to play each other at the ECAC semifinals on Friday at Colgate in Hamilton. St. Lawrence and Clarkson have a fierce rivalry that goes back decades. Clarkson and St. Lawrence finished number 2 and 3 in the ECAC. Colgate ranked number 1. You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, we'll preview a couple of concerts coming up next weekend, one featuring traditional Irish folk songs and the other, the mysterious theremin. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note, how to give chimney swifts a place to live when there are no chimneys. That's just ahead at 8:42. But first, Todd, is a look at the weather for us.
We've got clouds today with mild temperatures, highs near 60 this afternoon. afternoon, upper 50s, low 60s. The Weather Service says lows in the 40s overnight tonight, and then tomorrow, a high near 60 with maybe some scattered showers, about a 60% chance of scattered showers tomorrow. And again on Wednesday as well, maybe some, a combination of rain and sleet on Wednesday. It's going to be a little cooler, highs 40s near 50 on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, highs upper 30s, low 40s. And that looks like the high as we head into next weekend as well, highs in the 40s. That's the extended forecast. So today, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 60, light winds out of the east-southeast. It's cloudy and 43 degrees right now in Canton. Rob Schwimmer is a composer, musician, and former co-director of the New York Theremin Society. He'll bring his theremin, Hocken Continuum, and a piano for a performance of solo music Sunday, March 10th, this coming Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, at the Saranac Methodist Church on Route 3 in Saranac. The program includes works by Mussorgsky, Scriabin, Strayhorn, and the Beatles, plus original compositions and improv on keyboard and theremin. You'll hear theme and variations on standards, classics, and movie soundtracks, and a healthy dose of mystery. Mussorgsky Schwimmer Elegy, performed there by Rob Schwimmer on his theremin. And you can join him for a concert, a solo concert, Sunday, March 10th, this coming Sunday, 3 o'clock at the Saranac Methodist Church on Route 3 in Saranac. Rob Schwimmer on theremin, piano, and continuum. It's a concert presented by Hill and Hollow Music. There's more information on the website hillandhollowmusic.org.
Maybe your music taste is a little bit more traditional and fiddly. Drink the Gold is a folk duo from Saratoga Springs that will present a concert at Tawny this Friday night, March 8th at 7 o'clock as part of their Cabin Fever series. Una and James play Irish and old-time music and should be a good kickoff for St. Patrick's Day here in a couple of weeks. This is a tune called Cuckinandy. They're a folk duo from Saratoga Springs, and they'll be presenting a concert at Tawny this Friday night, March 8th at 7 o'clock as part of the Cabin Fever series. So much to enjoy throughout the region. So many concerts, so much music. I'm thinking of a few events coming up at the Tannery Pond Community Center in North Creek on March 10th. There'll be more Irish music to enjoy as part of their Winter Coffee House series. The McCrells, an Irish American Kana group, will be performing. Also coming up on the 12th, the faculty from SUNY Adirondack will be opening an art exhibit there. You can check out the work from John Hampshire and Rihanna Hogan, along with the pinhole camera photography from Renee O'Brien. Find out more from tanneripond.org.
That's it for Northern Light for this Monday, March 4th.
Morning Edition continues in just a minute. Then join us at lunchtime today for a conversation with RuPaul, creator and host of the reality competition show RuPaul's Drag Race. The TV series has run for 16 seasons, during which he won 14 Emmys. And now RuPaul has a memoir about growing up black, poor, and queer, and how he forged a new and glamorous life in punk rock and drag. That conversation between noon and 1 o'clock right here on NCPR. I'm Monica Sandresky.
I'm Todd Moe. Thanks for listening. Be well.